Good morning. I'm so happy all of you have decided to volunteer and come and be with us today. What? Oh, you have to be here? I see. Well, I kind of understand that. And I kind of know what that feels like on a regular basis because the guys that I work with, they're a captive audience too, so... Greetings from Mount Olive Bible College, and let's see. I'm not certain which button to push, my friend. There we go. Okay. Welcome from Mount Olive Bible College, Making Time Count Since 2014. And as Dr. Anderson had already mentioned to you this morning, about the very early beginnings. I'm going to share a little bit about what's taken place since those days, not so long ago. This was our first director, Dr. Alan Ferry. Has he been here to speak before? Have you all seen him before? Okay. Dr. Ferry has served as an Army chaplain and had worked in prison ministry in New York, in the state of New York. He was actually in charge of the Army Chaplaincy Corps during the 9/11 events that took place. And so this gentleman, he knows how to get things done. And so he came on board and helped ABC as well as Catalyst Ministries and the Division of Corrections to start up Mount Olive Bible College. And he was the first director. The work was established in cooperation with ABC. Calvin Sutphin, who is the financial backer and leader of Catalyst Ministries and the West Virginia Division of Corrections. And there's that pretty face. I've been serving as the director of Mount Olive Bible College since last May. And so I'm a newcomer. There's a lot to learn about working with inmates. It's not always easy. Sometimes there's drama, okay? Just like there might be some drama here. And, you know, when you are with a group of men day in or day out, or if you're with a group of gals day in, day out, sometimes you bump heads, don't you? No, never. Okay. It happens sometimes. At present, I'm teaching actually Doctrine 3 and Advanced Biblical Hermeneutics. Now, some of you may have only basically been introduced to me, but you know this person. This is my beautiful wife. Wave, honey. Okay, now she is duly embarrassed. Okay. This is our full-time faculty member, Dr. Joel Madasu. How many of you are taking a course here on campus with Dr. Madasu? Okay, there's a few of you. Dr. Madasu came to work with us this summer. He's been handling a lot of things for me and is just wonderful to have around. Unlike myself, he was not able to get away from the prison today. I'm here on good behavior. MOBC is our full-time faculty member. He was a student at Piedmont International University. That's where he gets his PhD. His expertise is in biblical languages, Old Testament, and web tech. His services have been invaluable as we've begun using internet technology for our distance teachers. We've had a few teachers that have been, our history teacher that we had last semester actually lives in Pennsylvania, but he was with us for 3 hours on every Friday teaching history for us. And it was a very neat way to make that happen. But we needed Dr. Madasu to help us get all that set up. and that's his area. He's also presently teaching Greek to English and Bible geography at the prison. And then also he's teaching the Hebrew to English course here at main campus. This is what the complex looks like. How many of you have been up to the prison before with a singing group? Quite a few of you. And they let you go. Isn't that great? It's always nice to be able to go home. Yes, this used to be, from what I understand, used to be a strip mine before they built the complex. And there is where the Bible College is located. Now, we don't have that entire building. We just have one classroom in that building. But I want to show you a few pictures to let you know what that classroom looks like. In our program, the idea is moral rehabilitation. And the idea behind that is to see men's lives change because of religion. The moral rehabilitation program pushes any religion as a means of making that happen. But you and I understand that the only way that lives can really be changed is when Jesus Christ comes into the life and the heart of a sinner. It's the only way it'll happen. And so we preach Christ and Him crucified. And we teach the same things that you're being taught in this institution. We're in our third year, and hopefully we'll be seeing our first graduating class coming up in 2018. What an exciting day that'll be. We have presently 33 students. We are presently using only one program. That's the four-year Bachelor of Arts degree program in Pastoral Studies and English Bible. How many of you men are on that program? Okay. They're getting the same thing you're getting. And graduates will be sent to other prison facilities. Are you ready? As missionaries. Doesn't that seem strange? But you know what? What I'm going to be talking about for you today is that we have a God of second chances. And that God has a ministry for every one of those men that's in that Bible college up there on the hill. Some of them will never get out of prison again. They're in prison for life without mercy. That means there's no hope of parole. But they're going to serve the Lord with the life that they have where they are. Many of these guys, as soon as they finish up in 2018, will be looking at places for them to transfer to. They'll be going to other prison facilities around the state to help us in putting together different ministry opportunities, preaching chapel services, helping set up multiple sites perhaps even, one day where we can have our classes being streamed live into four or five different facilities at one time. What exciting things are to come. This is what our classroom looks like. You see, we have a couple of big screen TVs in the front so everybody can see. There's that post that's sitting up there behind me in the picture, and it kind of blocks the way for everybody one side or the other, and so we had to have the two TV sets. Here's another shot of the same classroom. You notice a lot of the men that are in our classroom are above, they're not millennials. A lot of these guys have been around for a while. We've got some gray hairs in there. One gentleman that's sitting right on the front row there, beside, just to the left of the man with his hand raised in the air, he's 76 years old. We have a computer lab. Doesn't quite look like yours, does it? We have 20 computers. The 10 that these men are sitting at in the picture were actually donated to us by the Division of Corrections this past summer. And so With 33 students, we only had 10 computers for them to type their papers, and they have to use those computers to do them. They can't go back to their cells and write papers, so they have to do it here. It caused quite a bit of backup. They were kind enough to give us 10 more. There's Dr. Joel doing his thing. Do a little teaching. This is our library. Our library currently has 4,000 volumes. All of them, as far as I know, have been donated to Mount Olive Bible College. And there's a big stack of books still to be taken up there that we're in the process of moving up. Yes, God is a God of second chances. As you consider these guys that are in prison, remember that they're just normal people. And I know what you must be thinking, wow, what did they have to do in order to get up there in the first place? Well, some of them have done some pretty horrible things, no doubt. But they all started out the same way, just like you. And if you were to meet these men in any other situation, they'd be just like anybody else you'd meet on the street. Agreed, they've participated in and done some pretty horrible things, but like us, they're sinners in need of a second chance. And so they've got a past to overcome. How about you guys? Do you have a past to overcome? You ever think? Think about where you come from. Some of our pasts are very good. And praise the Lord for those pasts. But some of us know what it's like to have a bad history to overcome. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul says, I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look at this couple of verses for just a second. Forgetting those things which are behind. I know what some of these guys have got to let go of. Some of them have had the opportunity to take those experiences, go back to the families that they hurt, sometimes it was their own, and were able to make restoration, at least at some point. I know of a man up there who killed two police officers in a drug bust in his place of business. And since he's come to know Christ, he was able to go to the families of the police officers that he murdered. He's been able to talk with them, to share how he is so terribly sorry for the sin that he had committed against them and their family and against the Lord, and that now he's come to know Christ. And he shared with me that they are regularly writing to one another over the past few years. Only God can do something like that. But sometimes the things that we have lingering around in the back of our mind from our past affects us today repeatedly. I don't know, but what some of you folks in this room right now have got some things lingering around in your past that you can't seem to let go of. And every time you start to move forward just a little bit, it seems like Satan brings that background history up and throws it up in your face and tells you, you're no good. You're never going to make it. Who are you fooling? Who are you kidding around? But I'm telling you, Jesus can save the soul and change the heart and completely change the future. We can let go of our past. You know, just like a runner that's running a race. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about laying aside the weight which does so easily beset us. And sometimes the weight that we're carrying around is weight that we put on our own shoulders because we won't let go of our past. Paul then says, I let God, and he says, reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark. He's got his eye on the goal, the finish line, the prize, the reward of hearing God say, well done. Have you ever messed up? Let's see a show of hands. How many have ever messed up? Yeah, that's pretty much everybody. And for those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just did. So you're in good company. Not only just the rest of us in here, because we've all messed up. Adam and Eve really messed up. They disobeyed God, plunged the whole race into sin. And the results were they were afraid to face God and were ashamed because of their sin. Moses, a murderer. And by our state system, he would probably be serving time in prison for manslaughter. Second degree manslaughter. And because of his failure, here's Moses up on Mount Sinai watching the sheep. He sees a burning bush. Thinks that's a bit peculiar that the bush is not being burned up. He walks over and says, I'll go take a look and see what this is. And when he turned aside to see, God spoke to him out of that bush and said, I've heard the cries of my people down in Egypt. And in the BSV, you know what that is, right? The Bob Sprigg version? In the BSV, he says, I want you, Moses, to go down there and get them out. And you've heard the story. You know how that Moses turned around and made all kinds of excuses. Who am I to go before Pharaoh that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? They won't believe me. I can't speak well. God, please, send somebody else. What was behind all of that? Well, for one thing, he knew he was wanted for murder. And that's the death penalty. But aside from even that, he felt of himself, he felt that he himself was a failure. King David, a murderer, adulterer, and talk about a dysfunctional family. He had one. He paid a high price in his own family after destroying another family. His baby died. His daughter was raped by one of his sons. His son killed by another brother. And that same son tried to take his kingdom from him, and civil war resulted. Talk about a bad day. How about the Apostle Peter, who denied his Lord publicly, willing to walk away from God's call because of his shame and his guilt? Imagine walking with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years and telling him, Lord, I'll do anything for you. I'll even die for you if it comes to it. And then the Lord looks at him and says, well, now, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And he thought, nah, surely I wouldn't do such a thing as that. Sure enough, the third time that he denied Christ, he turned and saw eye to eye Christ as he was being led out of the mock trial that was being held. And he ran away. It all came back to him right there. And he ran away and wept bitterly. How about the Apostle Paul, a murderer and a blasphemer, ashamed of what he had done to believers, though, after he came to know Christ. And I'm sure he could remember every face of every Christian that he had put in prison. I think he was already dealing with his guilt when he was on the road to Damascus. That's when Jesus showed up on the way. How about John Mark? Quit on the mission field and returned home. Wanted to come back, but he had to be restored. And that situation was the source of a heated quarrel between Paul and Barnabas, causing them to split up. God is the God of second chances. Don't live in past mistakes. Nothing that can be done, there's nothing that can be done about the past. You have to let that go. God can help you to do that. Perhaps it's forgiveness that has to be done. Perhaps you've had a family situation that's been less than perfect. I think we all probably could relate to that. None of our families are perfect, but maybe yours has been pretty bad in the background, and you have some forgiving to do. Only God can help you to forgive some of those things. Maybe it's for failures that you're dealing with, that you're carrying around. What's done is done. You have to try to make reparations and move on. And every year, I've seen that people come to know Christ at Bible college. Perhaps maybe there's someone here yet who hasn't received Christ as their Savior. You know that there are real consequences for sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died for our sins, the sins that we've already committed and ever will commit. But you know what? Even though we have sinned against God and that we're enemies of God, still, God loved us. He said that he proved his love toward us in Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So take today and move forward. 1 John 1:9, believer, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And like Paul, you take today, you leave the past in the past, and you take the first step toward that mark today. Do you know, and you've heard this, you're in Bible college, God's got a plan for you. But I don't know. There have been times where I've doubted it. There have been times where I really doubted whether God had a plan for me or not. I've had some bad days. I've had some bad ministry. Things didn't go like I expected them to go. Sometimes that puts you in a position where you feel like, wow, maybe I missed something somewhere. Have you ever felt that way? But you know what? While there's still breath in our lungs, no matter where we are, God can still use us for his glory. Just like those 33 men up there on that hill, God's going to use them and has used them. I've seen those guys go and they've talked to fellows who were troubled because they've been in solitary confinement for months and they're afraid to come out. And they've called for our guys to go up there and minister to them. I've seen them call for our guys when a man was getting ready to pass into eternity in hospice care. He's getting ready to expire. And they call for our guys to come up and minister to him, sit with him. I had one guy that sat with a man for 18 hours straight, prayed with him, talked to him about his salvation. And the man, so he told me, received Christ during that time just before he passed from this world. You still have a purpose in this life and a calling. How did it end up for our messed up friends now? Well, Adam was restored to his God. There was a price to be paid. An innocent animal had to die for those coats of skins. blood was shed. Innocent blood was shed. But Adam was restored. Moses, well, you know that story. God called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Let me hear an answer. Was Moses perfect even at this point? No. And you're not going to be either. So don't expect to be. We try to live as Christ-like as we can, but you're not going to be perfect. So don't be so hard on yourself. Some of you are that way. How did it end for King David? Well, David was called a man after God's own heart. He certainly had his issues too. He wasn't perfect. You know, David is still loved and honored by the Israeli people. And the future millennial kingdom will be ruled by the Son of David. And his throne is honored by God. The Apostle Peter preached, about 3,000 got saved. That's pretty special. Not to mention the huge ministry he had for the rest of his time in life. And here's a man that had betrayed Christ, at least in the sense that he didn't have the courage or the boldness that he needed to stand up to several people when they walked around. Weren't you with this Jesus fella? He said, no, that wasn't me. You're imagining things. Well, you even sound like one of them. No, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. The Apostle Paul, missionary to the Gentiles. God was merciful to him and allowed him to serve him. What a ministry the Apostle Paul had. Then John Mark, that's a nice rest of the story. He returned to the mission field with Barnabas. He even wrote the Gospel of Mark after all of that. And Paul wrote to Timothy saying, bring him along because he's profitable to me for the ministry. How will it end for you? Well, some of you might be thinking, this is not what I signed up for. This is tough. You might be a little discouraged right now. Maybe some of you got less than an A. Maybe you got less than a C or a D. But it's not over. Have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? Yeah, you can do that today. And have you surrendered to the call of God in your life to live for and serve Him however He will allow it? So you have to, when you surrender yourself, you can't go at it and say, well, Lord, I'll surrender, but I need to do this, this, and this. It doesn't work that way. When you surrender yourself to Him, it's a blank check. So, all right, God, here I am. You use me however you see fit. I can honestly tell you, folks, today, prison ministry was not on my list of things to do, and it definitely wasn't on my bucket list. Okay? But I am so grateful that God has allowed me the opportunity to do it. You'll see. You just keep plugging away day by day and let Him lead you. Remember that even though others or perhaps even we ourselves may believe that we're washed up, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. And as long as there's still breath in our lungs, God's not finished with us yet. I want you to look at this statement. Think about it a minute. May we surrender to Jesus our todays, and He will take care of all of our tomorrows. One day at a time, take today. Give that to Him. Everybody needs a second chance. Are you watching? Look up. Everyone deserves a second chance. Even you.